Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm Peter Apathy with Raven News. The city will begin collecting more money from car rental companies in Sitka this fall. When the Sitka Assembly met last night, on a 5-to-1 vote, it approved an increase to the driver facility charge from 4% to 8%. City staff estimate the rate hike will bring in an additional $150,000 in revenue every year. The money collected will go toward the airport terminal fund at a time when the city and state are kicking off a major renovation of the airport. Assemblymember J.J. Carlson was the lone vote against the measure. She said a 4% increase was a lot when it's considered alongside the city's 6% sales tax and a 10% rental vehicle tax from the state.
That's a pretty big percentage. 20% is big, 24% is even bigger. And I'm really wanting to make that clear because that wasn't brought up the last time. And I don't know where we stand in this state. That's fairly comparable to large cities in the United States where I've rented vehicles. And I don't know if we want to be in that class.
The fee increase will begin on October 1st. We'll have more coverage of the Assembly meeting on Raven News tonight at 5:18. After spending Monday in Sitka, the Norwegian Bliss docked in Juneau yesterday morning, marking the beginning of the 2024 Juneau cruise ship season. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, both tourists and businesses are excited for the season ahead.
Jade Wang and Minhui Li set up their tripod to take a selfie in front of the Welcome to Juneau sign on the seawalk. They're here from New York, off the first cruise ship of the season in Juneau. Through a translation device, they say they think the snow on the mountains is beautiful.
I would recommend my friends from the motherland to come here.
Yeah.
Another couple, Jean and Rob Hands, say they came all the way from Scotland to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary in Alaska.
I always talked about coming to Alaska, so it was just one of these last-minute decisions. Let's see if we can go. Probably if we'd come later, we might have seen more of the wildlife. Yeah.
Rob says he sees similarities between tourism in Juneau and back home in Scotland.
We get loads and loads of visitors. The roads become full of campers and camper vans, and you can't get a place for bed and breakfast unless you book ahead. And you know it is busy, but it does well for the economy. So that's a great thing.
More than 1.6 million passengers are expected to arrive in Juneau from now until the end of the season in late October. On Tuesday morning, a steady stream of tourists walked down the seawalk and into stores downtown. The familiar smell of grilled chicken filled the air from Bernadette's barbecue stand near Marine Park. Robert De La Cruz says he's prepared 200 chicken skewers for the opening day, and he hopes they're all eaten by the time the ships leave.
Hopefully we'll sell that one. As long as not raining and windy, that's my fear. Windy and rain, people don't get out of crew member, you know. Some tourists, you know, they like to eat now, so yeah. It's fun. I'm getting excited this year.
Brandy Riggs with Juneau Tours and Whale Watch stood at a booth along the seawalk. She says throughout the morning, visitors have been buying tours to the Menenhall Glacier and for whale watching trips.
There's no guarantee that you're going to see whales, but we're definitely offering it still. We've got some glacier trips going on. Here in the next couple weeks, we'll have some city tours going as well.
Down Franklin Street, Gary's Fine Jewelry is also welcoming customers. Owner Gary Totwani keeps the store open year-round, and he says he's happy to see tourism season start.
A lot of people are happy. Everybody, you know, surround like locals and the people who works for the local stores, you know, they're happy also. So far, so good. It's excited to see the welcome the ship, and we are ready.
The next ship will arrive a week from now. With help from Katie Anastas, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
Pregnancy and birth can be complicated, both emotionally and physically. And many Alaska Native people from rural areas give birth in cities far from their families and shared culture. But as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, a group of Indigenous birth workers is trying to make the experience better by providing support and connection to traditional practices.
Rebecca Tegausinya Kalinyuk Villalon is comforting her four-month-old son after feeding him. Villalon is Inupiaq from Utqiagvik, and she now lives in Anchorage with her husband, son, and two-year-old daughter. She gave birth to both of her children in the city. She says she can't imagine what her births would have been like without her doula from the Alaska Native Birth Workers Community, or ANBC. That's a group of Indigenous midwives and doulas. They work with Alaska Native and Indigenous mothers during pregnancy, birth, and pregnancy loss. The collective's been around since 2017, and since then has provided free care to hundreds of mothers like Villalon. Villalon says the doula, Abra Nungasuk Pakkatuk, supported her throughout the pregnancy and birth of her daughter after two miscarriages.
Because I was having so much anxiety about potentially losing that pregnancy, it meant the world to me that she was there to support me through all of that prenatal experience.
Villalon says Pakkatuk joined her for healthcare appointments, she advocated for her, and Villalon says she loved that Pakkatuk, who is also Inupiaq from Utqiagvik, shared traditions about pregnancy and birth.
While pregnant, you don't stand in the doorway. You either enter or you stay out. And reason being, it could delay labor or it can impact labor in some way. And so I would make it a point to either go in or go out.
Pakkatuk has worked as a doula for 14 years and co-founded ANBC.
A big part of our mission and vision and values are reclaiming our practices and reclaiming what's rightfully ours. And traditionally, we all had people that were there to support us throughout our pregnancy and birth, and even in preconception.
Margaret Gaidi Dalna Olin Hoffman David is another founder, and she's Koyakon Athabaskan. David says one of the motivations for starting the collective was to support rural Alaska Native people. Mothers from rural communities often have to travel and stay in big cities during late stages of pregnancy, sometimes for months.
We were concerned just learning more about the Indigenous rural birth experience of being sent away from home, oftentimes being here alone, completely apart from their families and support systems and communities and foods and lands and waters.
Pakkatuk and David say support for mothers like this can look a lot of different ways. It can include helping set up birth plans or advocating for someone with medical providers, or it can be more nuanced emotional care. Pakkatuk says she's brought plants from the tundra when supporting someone from the Arctic to help it feel more like home. Another example is understanding body language.
Alaska Native people speak with their eyebrows and their noses and their face a lot, and healthcare providers might not understand that.
Pakkatuk says part of ANBC's long-term mission is to help all Alaska Native people access culturally relevant care close to home by growing the number of Indigenous birth workers. Research shows doulas improve birth outcomes, and so does culturally matched medical care.
Traditionally, every single community had either a midwife or someone who was knowledgeable about birth to support people. And now in Alaska, there's, as far as we know, there are only two practicing Alaska Native midwives, and that's not enough.
Villalon, the mother in Anchorage, says it was important to work with her doula, Pakkatuk, and have the safety of nearby hospitals.
I did not second guess myself in choosing to live and give birth here because of the resources that are available, because ANBC is here, because if I needed surgery, it is available here.
And she did end up needing that emergency care. After her second birth, she was rushed to a hospital where a gynecologist removed her placenta manually, and she had complications.
I lost a lot of blood, a significant amount of blood.
Pakkatuk stayed with her the whole time and updated her family.
It was so powerful for me to have that type of support to that extent, to that level, is just, it just gives me goosebumps. Like, I just feel so lucky and just, I feel so special and I feel so just grateful.
Villalon says working with Pakkatuk helped her see her ancestors were with her, empowering her. And Pakkatuk says ANBC birth workers aim to help all the mothers they work with feel connected, even when they're far from their ancestral home. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And that's all for Raven News for this hour. You can listen to or read our stories again on our website at kcaw.org. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. It's 8 o'clock. Let's take a look at a couple things on our community calendar. It is meeting day. Sitka Ports and Harbors meets at 6 p.m. today at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitka Historic Preservation Commission meets at 6 p.m. today as well at Harrigan. And at 5:30 today, Sitka Tree and Landscape meets at Harrigan Centennial Hall, and the Sitka School District Policy Committee will meet at 5 p.m. That's today in the district office boardroom. Looking at the weather forecast for